God's providence. Have you seen God's providence in your life? Have you? How many times have you seen God's leadership and it's just sometimes He shuts doors and opens doors, and sometimes you just fall through a door, and sometimes you fall into a brick wall? And here we have a man that God used greatly, David. David was a man. He was human. He made bad mistakes. But every time a king went the wrong way, God would say, and he did not walk in David's footsteps. David always loved me with all his heart. David put no other gods before me ever. David is an example to us of a man that loved God. He was a fragile vessel. He was a cracked pot in some ways, and yet he was a man that loved God. We'll start out in 2 Samuel now, the second chapter. And we did read the first part here, but we're going to do that again to get the whole idea. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on great details. I want you to go with the flow of the story. I don't want you to be interrupted. We'll tell you a few little names here and there, but and what they mean and everything, but I want you to see the story. I want you to see God's providence, His handiwork, His protection, as it is in your life today. The Old Testament is given to us for examples. Then it came about afterwards that David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to one of the cities of Judah?" And the Lord said to him, "Go up." So David said, "Where shall I go up?" And he said, "To Hebron." So David went up there, and his two wives also, Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David brought up his men who were with him, and each of with his own household, and they lived in the city of Hebron. And the men of Judah came there and anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying that it was the men of Jabesh Gilead who buried Saul. And David sent messengers to the men in Jabesh Gilead and said to them, "May you be blessed of the Lord, because you have shown this kindness to Saul, your Lord, and have buried him." Now, remember, Saul chased David mercilessly, trying to kill him. But David knew that Saul was God's anointed king. And he would protect him when he could. And he always honored him, and he always honored God, even though he was in great danger. "And now may the Lord show loving kindness and truth to you also, and I will show this goodness to you because you have done this thing." Now the word loving kindness there, that is a messianic title. I want you to understand that, the man of loving kindness. Verse number 7. "Now therefore, let your hands be strong and be valiant, for Saul your Lord is dead. And also the house of Judah has anointed me king over them. But Abner means enlightening, by the way. "The Abner, the son of Ner, commander of Saul's army, had taken Ishbosheth," and that means the man of shame. I have to throw that in there for just a moment. "Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Hamarin. And he made him king over Gilead, and over the Asherites, and over Jezreel, and over Ephraim, and over Benjamin, and over all of Israel. And Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to be king over Israel, and he was king for 2 years. The house of Judah, however, followed David. And the time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7.5 years. Now Abner, the son of Ner, went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon with his servants of Ishbosheth and the son of Saul. And Joab. Now Joab means that God is the father, or God is the father. Yah, that's Jehovah, and Ab, okay, that means father, Abba, father. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and the servants of David went out and met him by the pool of Gibeon. And they sat down, one on one side of the pool and one on the other side of the pool. Then Abner said to Joab, now Abner's a general, or a captain, whatever you want to call him, over the whole army, and Joab is a captain over the whole army. A young man arise and hold a contest here before us. And Joab said, let them arise. Now, they're not holding a contest. They're killing each other. They're declaring war right here. So they arose and went over by count, 12 for Benjamin and Ishbosheth and the son of Saul, and 12 of the servants of David. And each one of them seized his opponent by the head and thrust his sword into his opponent's side. See, this isn't a game. So they fell together there, and the place was called Helkath Hazurim, which is in Gibeon. And that day the battle was very severe. And Abner and the men of Israel were beaten before the servants of David. God's providence. God's providence. And there, three sons of Zeruiah were there, Joab and Abishai and Ashiel, and Asabel was swift-footed as one of the gazelles which is in the field. And Asabel pursued Abner and did not turn to the right or to the left from falling Abner. And Abner looked behind him and said, is that you, Ashiel? And he answered, it is I. So Abner said to him, turn aside, turn to your left or to your right, and take hold of one of the young men for yourself, and take for yourself his spoil. But Asahel was not willing to turn aside from following him. And Abner repeated again to Asahel, turn aside from following me. Why should I strike you to the ground? How then could I lift up my face to your brother Joab? However, he refused to turn aside, and therefore Abner struck him in the belly with the butt of the spear, so that the spear came out of his back. And he fell there and died on the spot. And it came about that all who came to the place where Asahel had fallen and died, they stood still. And Joab and Abishai pursued Abner. And when the sun was going down, they came to a hill of Ammah, which is in the front of Giah, by the way of the wilderness of Gibeon. And the sons of Benjamin gathered together behind Abner and became one band. And they stood on the top of a certain hill, and Abner called to Joab and said, shall the sword devour forever? Shall we kill each other forever? Do you not know that it would be better in the end? How long will you refrain from telling the people to turn back from following their brothers? These are all brothers, by the way. And Joab said, at least cousins. Brothers means brethren, relatives. These were all basically cousins. And Joab said, as God lives, if you had not spoken, surely the people would have gone away in the morning, each from following his brother. So Joab blew the trumpet, and all the people halted and pursued Israel no longer, nor did they continue to fight any longer. Abner's men went through the Arabah all that night, and so they crossed over the Jordan and walked all until morning till they came to Mahanaim. And Joab returned from following Abner. And we had gathered all the people together. 19 of David's servants besides Asahel were missing. And the servants of David had struck down many of the Benjamin and Abner's men, so that 360 men died. And they took up Asriel, and they buried him in his father's tomb, which is in Bethlehem. Then Joab and his men went all night until the dawn at Hebron. Now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. David grew steadily stronger, the providence of God. But the house of Saul grew weaker continually. Sons were born to David in Hebron. His firstborn was Ammon by Ahinoam the Jezreelitess. The second was Chileab by Abigail, the widow of Nabal, and the Carmelite. And the third was Absalom. Boy, Absalom here is a problem child, as we know. Absalom will fulfill prophecy later. Absalom will be a correction to David, the son of Maacah, and the daughter of Talmai, the king of Geshur. And the fourth son, Adonijah, the son of Haggith, and the fifth, Shephatiah, the son of Abithael. And the sixth, Ithream, by David's wife, Eglah. And these were born to David in Hebron. Did David have enough wives, do you think? Had a lot of them, didn't he? Had a lot of children. And the man is going exactly straight arrow all of this time. Exactly straight arrow. And God is protecting him all the way. Yet his adversaries are going to come from his own house. Some of them. And it came about while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David that Abner was making himself strong in the house of Saul. He's a captain, a great general. Now Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah. And Ishbosheth said to Abner, "Why have you gone into my father's concubine? Why are you now having sexual relationships with my father's concubine?" And he confronts Abner with this. Now Ishbosheth is kind of an innocent bystander in all of this to some extent. Abner became very angry over the words of Ishbosheth and said, "Am I a dog's head that belongs to Judah? Today I show kindness to the house of Saul, your father, to his brothers and to his friends, and I have not delivered you into the hands of David. And yet today you charge me with a guilt concerning this woman." May God do so to Abner and to more also, if the Lord has sworn to David that I do not accomplish this thing for him. To transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul and to establish the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan unto Beersheba. Now he says, "This is enough. I've had enough out of you. You're a puppet and I don't need you any longer. I'm going to make Israel one nation now." And he can no longer answer Abner a word because he was afraid of him. Abner's a mighty warrior now. Then Abner sent messengers to David in his place saying, "Whose is the land? Make your covenant with me, and behold, my hand will be with you to bring all Israel over to you. All of the whole Israel will be yours." And he said, "Good. I will make a covenant with you, but I demand one thing of you, namely, you shall not see my face unless you bring Michal, Saul's daughter. Then you can come and see me." That was his wife. Michal was his wife. And David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, Saul's son, saying, "Give me my wife Michal, to whom I was betrothed, for 100 foreskins of the Philistines." And how many foreskins did he get? He killed 200 men, not just 100, twice as much as was asked. And Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband, from Paltiel, the son of Laish. But her husband went along with her, weeping and crying as he went. and he followed her as far as Bahurim. And Abner said to him, go return. So he returned. Abner now, you don't argue with Abner. Ishbosheth crossed Abner, and Ishbosheth is no more. Now Abner had consultation with the elder of Israel, saying, in times past you were seeking for David to be king over you. Now then do it. For the Lord has spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David will I save my people Israel from the hand of the Philistines and from the hand of all their enemies. And Abner also spoke to the hearing of Benjamin. In addition, Abner went to speak in the hearing of David and Hebron and all that seemed good to Israel, to the whole house of Benjamin. Then Abner and 20 men with him came to David at Hebron. And David made a feast for Abner, and the men were with him. And Abner said to David, let me arise and go and gather all Israel to my lord, the king, that we make a covenant with you, and that you may be king over all your soul desires. So David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. Now something's going to happen here, some bad, bad things. This man crossed over from Ishbosheth to Abner did, to David. And he said, "This you're God's choice." So this man's trying to follow God's will. Again, God's providence. And through him, through Abner, Israel will become one nation. Judah and Israel will become one. But sometimes there's snakes in the woodpile. Snakes in the woodpile. And behold, the servants of David and Joab came from a raid and brought much spoil with them, but Abner was not with David in Hebron. For he had sent him away, and he had gone in peace. When Joab and all the army that was with him arrived, they told David, saying, Abner, the son of Ner, came to the king, and he had sent him away. And he is gone in peace? Then Joab came to king and said, what have you done? Joab always tries to correct David. He's a very strong personality. Maybe you have people like this in your life. Sometimes they tell you the right thing and sometimes they tell you the wrong thing. Behold, Abner came to you. Why then have you sent him away? And he's already gone. You know that Abner is the son of Ner, that he came to deceive you and to learn of your going out and coming in and to find out all that you're doing. When Joab came out from David, he sent messengers after Abner. And they brought him back from the well of Sirah. But David didn't know anything about it. And when Abner returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the middle of the gate to speak with him privately. And there he struck him in the belly so that he died on account of the blood of Asahel, his brother. I and my kingdom are innocent before the Lord forever of the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. May it fall on the head of Joab and on all of his father's house. And may there not fail from the house of Joab one who has discharged, or who is a leper, or who takes hold of this staff, or who falls by the sword, or who lacks bread. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, killed Abner because he had put their brother to death in the battle of Gibeon. Then David said to Joab and to all the people who were with him, tear your clothes. Gird your sackcloth. Lament before Abner. The king David walked behind the bier, the casket. David was going to do what God said, and David honored his covenant with Abner. And he is mad. David will never cease being mad over this. Just like Jacob never ceased being mad over Levi and Simeon when they killed the whole city of Shechem, when they had converted. Thus they buried Abner in Hebron, And the king lifted up his voice and he wept at the grave of Abner. This is David now. He did not want this to happen. And all the people wept. And the king chanted a lament for Abner. And he said, should Abner die as a fool dies? Your hands were not bound, nor your feet put in fetters. As one falls before the wicked, you have fallen. And all the people wept again over him. Then all the people came to persuade David to eat bread while he was still dead. But David vowed, saying, may God do so to me and more also if I taste bread or anything else before the sun goes down. And all the people took note of it. And it pleased them, just as everything that the king did pleased all the people. David walked the straight and narrow. David never loved any other god, nor worshipped any other god, or bent the knee to any other god but Jehovah. David went in and he fought Goliath. He fought Goliath's brothers. And he fought it with confidence that God would bring him through. The providence and guidance and love of God. So all the people in all Israel understood that day that it had not been the will of the king to put Abner the son of Ner to death. Then the king said to his servants, do you not know that a prince and a great man has fallen this day in Israel? Abner was a great warrior. He was a great warrior on the field and he had slain many men. But because he trusted Joab, he died. David didn't kill him. David didn't have anything to do with his death. I am weak today, though anointed king. These men of the sons of Zeruiah are too difficult for me. May the Lord repay the evildoer according to his evil. Now we'll read this next little short chapter here in this message. And now when Ishbosheth, Saul's son, heard that Abner had died in Hebron, he lost courage and all Israel was disturbed. And Saul's son had two men who were commanders of the bands, and the name of one was Baanah, and the name of the other was Rehob, the sons of Rimmon, the Berethite, of the sons of Benjamin, for Beroth is also considered part of Benjamin. And the Berethites fled to Gideon and have been aliens there till this day, until the writing of this book, that is. Now Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son crippled in his feet. He was 5 years old when the report of Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it happened that if they were in a hurry, that he fell and he became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. And the sons of Rimmon and the Berethites and Rechab and Baanah departed to the house of Ishbosheth in the heat of the day while he was taking his midday rest. And they came to the middle of the house as if to get wheat. And they struck him in the belly. Rechab and Baanah, his brother, escaped. When they came into the house, he was lying on his bed in his bedroom, and they struck him and killed him and beheaded him. Sounds like a bunch of Arabs, doesn't it? And he took his head and traveled by the way of Arba all night. And they brought the head of Ishbosheth to David in Hebron. So to the king, behold, the head of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, your enemy, who sought your life. Thus the Lord has given my lord King vengeance this day on Saul and his descendants. What do you think David's going to do? What do you think he's going to do? And David answered Rechab and Baanah, his brothers, sons of Rimmon, and Berethite, and he said to them, "As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from all distress." David knew who had saved him. When one told me, saying, "Behold, Saul is dead," and brought as if he was bringing good news, I seized him and I killed him at Ziklag, which was the reward I gave for his news. How much more when wicked men have killed a righteous man in his own house, in his own bed, shall I not require his blood from your hand and destroy you from the earth? Then David commanded the young men, and they killed him. They cut off their hands and their feet, and they hung them up upside down, or up beside the pool of Hebron. But they took the head of Ishbosheth and buried it in the grave of Abner in Hebron. Don't go do something real bad. Even kill David's enemies and expect him to reward you. David said, "I swear by the God who has kept me alive and brought me through all of my trials and error, that I won't kill you. You're a dead man." This is written down in God's Word so that we can see what kind of a man David was. David was a man of mercy. He was like Jesus in some ways. He was a man of loving kindness, but he was a man of justice also. Now, one of the titles of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is the man of loving kindness. But I want you to understand something about the man of loving kindness. He is also the Lord over hell. And who goes there? If people reject him, reject God's sacrifice, he will not be their man of loving kindness. He will be their judge. And they will be judged. And forever, they will be in hell. Just as David, these men that were always looking for a reward by killing his enemies. David swore to Saul something. He swore to Saul that he would not kill his children, that he would protect them. Even though Saul was his enemy, David was not Saul's enemy, nor was David the enemy of his children. Our Father, we send this message out. Help us be like David in all the right way. And Father, use your message to honor and glorify you throughout the world. I thank you for this media to do it in our little church, Discover the Word Missionary Baptist Church. We can reach the world through you and through your providence. Father, please forgive me where I failed you. In Jesus' name.